Human life begins in a watery womb. We spend our first 9 months immersed in water, and then we emerge from this warm, dark brine into the world. And in the creation story, this is paralleled. The waters existed before the light. Creation emerges from the waters. Water was present before creation. Now, the word waters in the creation story, that story of the Christian and Jewish scriptures, is not the water we know. It's actually a poetic turn of phrase, kind of like our words gurgle or hum. It's those words that imitate sound, onomatopoeia. I still can't spell that word. And the Hebrew word translated waters in our creation story is the word tahom, tahom. It's got that kind of sound, tahom. And when it's translated in the Jewish Midrash, it is called the murmuring deep. The murmuring deep. I hear this kind of burping gas, you know, bloop, bloop, bloop. I see this frightening vastness of murky liquid where there is actually no life. It's unable to bring forth life. It's unable to sustain life. Tahom, wasteland, nothing, murmuring deep. One rabbi writes that tahom, the waters prior to creation, is shorthand for everything that scares human beings. It is shorthand for the absence of good, the fear of dementia, the melting of the polar ice caps, the pollution of Earth's fresh waters, not having enough money, operating from a deficit budget, unresolvable back pain, saying goodbye to those we love, tahom, the murmuring deep. And it is this sense of water that continues to be a picture for the Israelite nation of their difficult times, of their chaos, of the obstacles that humans endure. The waters of the Red Sea stood in their way to freedom from Egypt. The waters of Babylon, into which they poured their tears during exile. These waters of chaos. And yet the hope of our scriptures tell us that it is over these waters that the Spirit hovers. It is over the waters that the voice of the Lord cries out, that God is mightier than the waters of chaos, and that from the chaos, from the waters, God makes order and life. God parts the Red Sea. God calls the Israelites back from exile. And so our first reading was from the prophetic works that is known to us as Isaiah. And Isaiah is not a single author. We think it's more like a school of prophets that wrote over many years. And the section today, chapter 43, is from 2 Isaiah, probably written at the end stages of the exile. They had been through much, and they were being reminded of God's restoration, a calling back, a reordering. In Walter Brueggemann's Old Testament theology, he beautifully demonstrates this parallel drama of brokenness and restoration. And in this poem, in this Isaiah poem, shows us how creation, beloved, formed in generosity, told it was good, was relinquished again to chaos and then restored to blessing. And with that, Israel, beloved and chosen, scattered into exile and then gathered and re-loved. And in these poetic verses, we are invited to relive creation again and again and again. God is an artist. God forms people into community and delights. God is able to imagine a form of life that we have never seen before. And just like in the creation story, God names us again and announces not only are we good, but we are precious and honored and beloved. Out of the chaos, restored to our identity. In Henry Nouwen's book, Life of the Beloved, he reminds us that we are in process of becoming beloved. We know we are loved by God, at least we think we know, but we have to let it sink in. And it is a process of paying attention to the Spirit's gentle voice that calls us. I don't know about you, but I resonate with Henry Nouwen when he describes how often he thinks about self-rejection. He says, you know, it just takes one person to accuse him of something, or just a feeling of rejection, or just being left alone, or feeling abandoned, and suddenly his thoughts are, well, that proves once again that I'm a nobody. Negative thoughts come to us so quickly. It is the internal chaos of Tahom. And yet, in our silence, in our prayer, we are invited to listen to a small, still voice, a voice that calms the waters. No one reminds us of this voice. And he says, the Spirit whispers to us, I have called you by name from the very beginning. You are mine, and I am yours. You are my beloved. I have molded you in the depths of the earth and knitted you together in your mother's womb. I have carved you in the palm of my hands and hidden you in the shadow of my embrace. I look at you with infinite tenderness. I care for you with a care more intimate than that of a mother for her child. I have counted every hair on your head and guided every step you take. Where you go, I go with you. Where you rest, I keep watch. Nothing, nothing can separate us. We are one. My friends, in that still place, in the silences that we have, when that old habit of negative thinking comes, hear this. You are beloved. Beloved is where you begin. We cannot do anything or say anything that will make God love us less. We cannot do anything or say anything that will make God love us more. It is patterned in creation. It is patterned in the story of Israel. And it is offered to us to reclaim our identity. And it is our practice as Christians to enact this recreation using water. And we do this in the sacrament of baptism. When I was attending an Anglican church in Vancouver, long before becoming a priest was even a twinkle in my eye, the Archbishop visited. She was the bishop at the time. And on this occasion, she baptized two people. And there was this eight-month-old baby girl with this sweet smile. She was wearing this newly white crocheted outfit that was kind of flowing, you know. And next to her was proud grandma, who I'm sure had done the crocheting. And next to them was a 65-year-old man, hair thinning, dressed in a bit of a worn-out suit and kind of a old-fashioned tie. The contrast was quite stark, but it was perfect. The baby was cooperative. The water was poured over her. She was anointed with oil. And then the gentleman stepped forward, and he leaned over this font. And at this point, it became a little awkward, because as he leaned, his comb over, you know, that strategically covered hair that covers a bald patch, it flopped into the water and it started to swirl. And it was a little uncomfortable maneuvering to try and get to the water, and water was poured and words were spoken. And then he lifted his head, you know, and of course the hair was completely over his face. And the best moment was Archbishop Melissa trying to do a little bit of hairdressing before she anointed him with oil. And when it was over, these two newly baptized were both crying. The baby, because that's what babies do, but the man wept too. Perhaps he knew other waters. Perhaps he knew the waters of Tahom, the hardness of life, the chaos, days filled with fear and sorrow. And now he was graced with the mystery of God, who forms a new reality for us. The Spirit hovering over the waters, renewing us, recreating us, calling us beloved. Let us remember that our recreation begins with chaos. Let us remember our baptism, that God speaks us back to life, that God calls us beloved. And the one who called us by name then still calls us now.